Hit it.
Hey, I'm hitting it. Wait, stop. You're just right over the top of me.
Okay, start again. Hit it.
Oh, I've got the kick.
You're listening to Pop the Kettle On with Nicole Essio and Dr. Rachel Bushing.
Hi, I'm Rach.
And I'm Nicole. Welcome to Pop the Kettle On.
This is the Parenting, Womanhood, Marriage, Baby and Life Review podcast. We dissect the good, the bad and the ugly of family life and have a laugh about how it's depicted in popular culture.
Because it's always tea time.
And if I don't laugh, I'll cry.
Me too. Hi, Rach.
Hi, Nicole.
How you doing, beautiful?
I'm well.
That's good.
Slightly delirious.
Yeah, I know. What is with that? It's because you put all this chocolate in front of me.
2 minutes.
Is that a thing?
Not enough Easter eggs.
I think it's like that in The Simpsons. I don't know if it was Police's son.
Yes.
He's a weird kid.
Yeah.
And anyway, he's like, my nose is bleeding. And his dad goes, you're picking your nose too much. Or maybe not enough. That's how I feel about Easter eggs. See, we are delirious.
We are a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because I'm wondering if I should divulge a slightly personal story.
Oh, excellent. Let's say no.
Let's say no.
It involves
snot in one of my children.
Excellent.
I'm just wondering if he or she, who shall not be named, would be happy with me telling the story.
They who shall not be named.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Carry on. Tally-ho. Nicole is afraid that if she eats an Easter egg on the podcast, there's going to be a distasteful sucking noise. So I, of course, have
given
said,
anyone.
Go ahead.
Okay, this one is lumpier than bigger than the other ones.
Yeah,
why is that?
Some of them are caramel filled.
Ooh.
So the bigger ones are caramel filled.
Yes, please.
And the smaller ones are just plain
chocolate.
You know,
my husband doesn't like soft scented chocolates.
Awesome. More for you.
Right?
Mm.
This is why we work.
You and me go together like peas and carrots, Jenny.
Exactly. See? Get it? So how you been? What's happening? What's going on?
Oh, life.
Life.
It keeps happening.
It does.
Keeps on spinning.
Thankfully. I mean, you know, alternative sucks. Mm. So, yeah.
You're still alive?
Yes, I am.
Mm.
Last
me
I
too.
Checked.
Me too.
Well done. I know. And like... humans are alive, small humans and larger humans, everyone doing well, loving that. I don't know why, like, I can't keep a pot plant alive, but I can keep small humans alive, so I think that's a good thing. Yeah. There's a lot of noise going on outside, downstairs, something doing. Should we be concerned about this?
There's a bit of sucking going on inside my mouth as well. Sorry.
Oh, and I'm drinking tea.
Tea, chocolate.
Tea and chocolate.
Life well keeps on spinning.
Yeah.
And today we're talking parenthood.
We are. And not parenthood, the long form TV series, Johnny Come Lately.
That I keep getting confused with, but no longer.
No, we are talking about absolute championness that is Parenthood the film.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Howard directed Parenthood the film.
I did not know that it was Ron Howard.
Ah. Look at that.
I did learn something new, though.
Go on.
Learned that Leaf Phoenix
is
Joaquin.
Yeah.
Phoenix.
Yeah. Yep. He has quite a starring role. And you can see, I think you can really see his talent in this film.
He's so good.
So good as a child, little child.
Mm.
But yeah.
I was actually sitting there watching it with my husband, and because he knows everything about film and everything.
Yes.
I saw the credits come up and I was like, Leaf Phoenix. And I went, he must be one of the Phoenixes. And then we're sitting there watching it and I'm like,
wait a minute.
Whatever happened to this child? And I'm secretly sitting there like Googling it. And then I'm like, how embarrassment.
The upper lip scar kind of gave you a little bit of a hint.
No.
Okay.
Only Google gave me the hint.
There you go. So, Parenthood is one of Paul and my top five kind of revisit films. We watch it probably twice a year at least because it's just life on a film, you know. It's just the good, the bad, the ugly, the funny, the ridiculous, all out there for everybody to see, and I love that.
Yeah.
Because life is messy. So it's it's great to see it depicted in a messy way rather than kind of tying it all up in a bow.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think? Because you've obviously not been exposed as much as I have.
The 1989 Ron Howard directed a film starring Steve Martin, Mary Steenburgen.
Mm-hmm.
What's his face with the glasses?
Rick Moranis.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Ben told me a story about him that he dropped out of making any movies because his wife was, like, really sick or she passed away, something like this, and just, like, left the film business.
Yeah, after he shrunk the kids or the parents or
he
blew them up.
He was in everything back in the day.
Yeah.
He's so good.
He's so good in this film. And it's not even the kind of role that you expect him to kind of have. Like, it just...
Yeah, it's a twist
on the classic Rick Moranis. And it's funny, I'm not a Steve Martin fan.
Oh, me neither.
And yet, love him in this film.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Do you know something else we watched last week that has Steve Martin in it? Have you seen Cheaper by the Dozen?
I have seen bits of it.
Right.
And he's like father of 12, if I remember.
It's not very fulfilling.
I can't. It's kind of like a box of donuts then, isn't it? You know, Cheaper by the Dozen.
Mm.
Not very healthy for you.
Yeah.
Nutritionally bereft.
Yeah. He plays a relatively similar character in that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the heart that...
No.
Yeah. Parenthood, I love that it just has such heart, you know, like it's done with love about family and, you know.
And scene for scene, like it's just this really well written and like very engaging. So my thoughts, right?
Give me.
Is for some reason in my childhood, I've watched this movie a lot. Like, there's entire scenes that I could, like, recall some of the dialogue in it.
Wow.
Like, I've watched it so much. Like, the bit where the little boy's got the bucket on his head and all of that kind of thing.
He likes to butt things with his head.
Yeah. And, I'd forgotten about it, but that whole scene where Keanu Reeves, who plays the boyfriend,
that's
the
Todd.
Bad influence of Diane Weist's teenage daughter, that whole scene where he's talking about that thing where the little boys discovered masturbation and that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and I said to him, that's what little dudes do.
And I was like, and that made him happy.
And that made him happy. And there's all these lines in that one scene that, like, as kids, we used to quote to one another.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, we found that scene, like, really funny. Because he says something like, slapping the salami. Do you know what that means? Something like that. And the probably most infamous scene with the...
electric air cleaner?
What?
No.
Oh, right. That was huge. I was talking about the, what was it? What you should do when your husband gets tense.
Oh.
That scene. Now, we're talking in code here. Nicole was talking about initially a scene where one of the children discovers a dildo.
Well, a vibrating.
It was a vibrating dildo.
So... Yeah, I was kind of talking in code about the electric air cleaner because that's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, vibrator. Mm-hmm.
Can you not say?
I just did. hilarious stuff. Because, you know, this woman is divorced. Hubby's left.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the kids. He's got a new wife and these new kids.
Mm.
Diane Weist is brilliant in this film. I love her so much. And
she's lovely.
It reminds me, like, she's kind of playing the similar character that she does in Sisters with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. She's the mum of...
Oh!
Yeah. She's so good in that too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, you know, embarrassing family get-together story number one.
So I think that, because I watched it with my husband.
Yep.
Because I borrowed the DVD off Nicole.
Yes.
It's a favourite movie.
Yeah, I own it.
She gave it to me with a little post-it stuck on.
I belong to Nick and Paul.
Please return to Nick and Paul. Haven't yet given it back. And last night I was like, we'd better sit down and watch this. I have to do my homework. Ben's like, must we? And I'm like, come on. I said, it's Nicole's favourite movie. You love Nicole. You trust her. He's like, this movie? I said, I think that neither of us had seen it since having kids.
Yeah.
And I said, I think that we'll probably like get more out of it now that we're parents. And we
did you?
Look, you know, it was like Yeah, so many things that were just reminiscent of like glancing at each other and going, that looks familiar.
Yeah.
And right down to the idea of the what you do when your husband is tense, Nicole.
Give him oral highway.
Oral highway. So, apparently, male listeners out there, let us know if this is true. Mm. I can't imagine anything worse, to be honest.
Well,
I think I'd respond like Steve Martin and crash the car.
Because you're trying to concentrate. You've got like a 2-ton vehicle that you're in charge of. That's a lot of concentration that is required. You don't want the blood running from your head at that moment, I wouldn't think.
I love little Mary Steenburgen's face as well when she turns him in the car and she's like, you're tense. You see it dawn on her, maybe this will help. And then cut to basically crash the car.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And my husband's like, she's a good wife. And I said, you would be a car crasher.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It would go down the exact same way, I'm telling you.
Yep.
Or I would get kicked in the head or something.
Well, you'd get a knee to the head at the very least. Yeah. That, I mean, I just think that kind of thing. I mean, that's the same car that they're driving in from, you know, this baseball game that they go to at the start of the film.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the kids are singing a diarrhea song in the back. You mm-hmm. know, like it's so family car combined. Yep. Like the whole family, sex, love thing all intertwined.
Yeah.
Which just cracked me up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yep. And the whole discussion about, you know, his dad and how his dad never had any male influences and, you know, all that sort of stuff. It just, it's so funny. And of course, being the parents of four, Paul and I really appreciate the fourth kind of, you know, giggle, giggle, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Which just is hilariously funny. But our fourth doesn't behave like a fourth, I don't think.
Mm.
You would think he'd be jumping off walls and totally, you know, fearless, but he's just not. He's quite a careful little thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It might be because of the gap between the older two and the younger two.
Yeah.
That he's more like a sort of the younger sibling
rather than a fourth one.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we were turning to one each other and going, our youngest, our little blonde 3-year-old.
Yeah.
This is very reminiscent of the little blonde 3-year-old in this.
What's he doing? Spinning. That doesn't look very fun.
He likes to stick his head in things. He likes to bang things.
How proud you must be. See, we can quote and often do. Like, you know, there are situations where, because Parenthood is like a really good Simpsons episode where there's so many things going on at once. Like there's all these little vignettes of things that are going on. So there's this relationship between brother and sister, and then there's wife-husband relationship, and there's, you know, boss employee relationship, and there's, you know, all this kind of parent-child, everything going on and all intertwined, and you don't ever get a disjointed kind of sense of it. Like, it all kind of makes sense all together.
Yeah, it's very well done.
Yeah. The only thing that we watched this time going, oh, I don't think they'd get away with that now, is when there's a sort of a split, you know, sliding doors kind of bit where, you know, Kevin, the very intense, highly sensitive little man, is, you know, either going well or not going so well. Mm-hmm. And so the going well is his, you know, valedictory speech at college, and he's thanking his dad for being such a great dad. And then, of course, the not going very well is the shooting up college.
Yeah.
And you just wouldn't do that these days.
I agree. I had the exact same thing. Yeah. I was like, ooh, that wouldn't work well these days.
No, you totally wouldn't do it, because, I mean, 1989 is a long time before.
Can I share another moment with you?
Go.
When the same poor little kid gets, like, sent off to the psychologist.
Oh. Yeah.
Or should I say, the parents get called into the, say, principal's office to be told, oh, there's been all of these problems for a
long time.
We're only just now telling you. And by the way, here is a strange man, psychologist, who the child must go and see.
Yeah, that is really badly done on the school's behalf, that is for sure.
Well, and I don't know if it was done like that in 1989. Possibly.
Yeah.
I did actually write down, I've got it in my little note here, because What's the boy's name?
Kevin.
Kevin. Because Kevin says at one point, why am I seeing a psychologist? Is there something wrong with me?
Oh, I know, the little sweetie.
And that's always something that I always try and aim to be kind of like, try not to be that strange, mysterious person that comes in when there's a problem.
Because
kids so easily just internalize that if there's a problem, they're the problem.
Yes.
And I hate that kind of ideal.
I know. And he's such a sweet, and I love the response that Steve Martin, you know, the dad gives in that, you know, you're just a kid with a lot of feelings, you know, and sometimes you need help with getting through those feelings and trying to sort of really normalize that thing for this little person who clearly has, you know, a lot of trouble processing how he's feeling inside, you know, and he doesn't act out and he doesn't break things like some kid would manifest, I would imagine, in some kids. And then this poor little Kevin just screams and cries, you know, because he just can't deal.
And the way that the parents go towards the kind of like, what is it that we did wrong? Oh. We were too overprotective, la, la, la.
Smoked weed.
Oh, God. It was her. She smoked weed.
I thought she was going to join a Rasta band or something. Did he say?
And I think, like, in my experience, that stuff is rarely verbalized, you know? People don't go, oh, my God, was it me? Like, some people do. Or point the finger at the other parent. But I think that it's very often what they're thinking and just kind of don't want to say. They're like, oh, dear, what can we do or what should we say? But I think very often they're actually thinking like, I'm a failure as a parent. What did I do wrong? What's, you know.
Oh, wow.
But, like, you know, when you look at that family, there's Kevin, who's the oldest, who's like highly sensitive and anxious and just worried about everything. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the girl in the middle, who actually my husband said to me, she doesn't get much play.
No.
The invisible middle child.
Yes.
But, you know, no, just a different temperament.
Yeah.
And then, like, the wild youngest one, who's just kind of like a bit of a ragamuffin.
Yeah.
And that's like such a lottery as well.
It is, you know. I mean, I always say this about my sister and I, you know, same womb, same house that we grew up in and completely different humans. You know,
constructed from different hardware.
Yeah, obviously. And that's great. I mean, who would want the same thing? It'd be boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love – it's funny. I do verbalize that stuff, though. Yep, I totally screwed this one up. Like – Paul's too well adjusted, so it's got to be on me.
No.
But you do that, though, don't you? I mean, that's a regular thing that you kind of like, oh. And I know that Big's got a different parent than Small's got, because I'm a much more relaxed, chilled person than I was at that time, highly strung myself. So, you know.
And there is actually a birth order effect.
Ooh.
So, you know, it's not, it's kind of like when you add in all of these different factors, you know, it's kind of like what makes up a person.
Cumulative effect of all of these.
That's right. Like there's no one factor that explains why a person is that way. You know, it's nature.
Yes, there is. It's their astrological sign.
It's funny you mention that because I do believe in astrological signs. But just as one factor.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I'm a Leo and that doesn't describe everything about me.
It describes our hair.
But exactly. And sometimes when I choose to want to give it meaning, I will choose to say that it has meaning. But that's such a Leo thing to say.
Oh, my God. That is brilliant. I love it. But it's true. I mean, we are the sum of all of our parts, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, as humans. And and not just the parts, but the experiences and your perception of the experiences. Yeah. So, you know, like I notice with my Bigs, the same thing can be experienced by both of them. And because of their different personalities, they will perceive that same thing differently, you know, and they will have completely different points of view to what the experience meant to them.
Yeah.
And it's really fascinating. I find that really, really fascinating to go, okay, well, from your worldview, this means X, and from your worldview, this means Y or, you know, Alpha, like a completely different language, let alone letter.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Mm.
But yeah, the birth order thing, what does that do to me? Mm. I'm second of two. My parents stopped when they got it right. But
typical younger child thing to say, you just got it right there.
What What does that all tell us?
Well, you know I'm a middle child.
Yes, I do. Mm. Yeah.
So we're destined for disaster.
You're jumping up and down with your hand up.
I actually haven't looked at the research in a bunch of years, but I think it demonstrates what you would instinctively think to be the case.
Yeah.
That the older child usually has the burden of being the experimental child where mm-hmm. the parents are still figuring it out
mm-hmm.
and can mostly be sort of parents are a bit more anxious.
Yeah.
So they can sometimes, you know, breed the child being a little bit more kind of like responsible, but sometimes kind of like super aware of their responsibility.
Mm. Well, we've said all along to Big One that, you know, she was our practice kid and so she needs a good job so that she can pay for her therapy. I think that's wise. We're just giving her good parental advice.
Yeah. I totally noticed that thing. Yeah, and so, and you know, in general, there can be the, if there is a middle child, then there can be a tendency for the middle child to go unnoticed
mm.
because people do give more attention to the older one who's talking and doing more things and is of interest because they're a little bit older
mm.
and the younger one because they're the baby and they're cute and, you know. But I think that, like, there's not really, I don't just say this because I'm a middle child, there's no real prejudicing because I think that, like, the burden of the younger child is that you've had all of that kind of, like, people have gone before, there's people are a little bit more relaxed and you're kind of like raised a bit more by the collective than by just your parents.
Yeah.
But there can be that effect of kind of like mollycoddled and kind of, you know, not not seen, no photos of them.
I tell you what though, iPhones have changed that.
Yeah.
You know, like when before you would have to take the photo on film and go and take it to, well, like they do in the film, you yeah. know, take it and go and get it processed.
Yeah.
And the effort of that, you kind of, I imagine it just didn't happen as much as children came along. But this is kind of quite an equalizer, the iPhone, that it's there. It's always there, so you can just quick snap, quick snap.
I don't know. I have less of my younger child.
Well, I have lots of selfies of the little two take their own. They're like up their noses. I don't need to see that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. I think I was probably, like, it's weird. Like, I was home more with my bigger two.
Yeah.
Because I was home more with them. Hmm. And then as they've gotten older and they're at school, and I still have like two full days with just me and my younger child.
That's so lovely.
But maybe, and this is really sad to admit, but it's like going to the park or doing this or like, oh, he's going down the slide for the first time kind of isn't as noteworthy, like pull out your phone.
Yeah.
And it's not because it's not that child's doing something great. It's just with your first, it's like, this is the first time my child has ever done something.
Yeah.
And then when it's the subsequent ones, it's like, kind of seen them do it before.
Yeah, I've seen this picture. Awful, it's already been done.
It's terrible.
It's not.
And you just get way too busy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first child, you've filled out the baby book, quite a significant portion of it.
Yeah.
And then the second child, someone's bought you the baby book and you've filled out their name.
Note to self, I have empty baby books sitting there.
Yeah.
I have notes on my phone, shit to write in the baby book.
Yeah. That's an excellent note to
That's
have.
That my phone doesn't crash.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, maybe you should email it to yourself. Mm. Just to... Our big one saves on her phone ridiculous things that we say.
Mm-hmm.
So,
there's a blog about you out there somewhere.
So she has, you know, things to throw back at us when we've behaved badly or God. When we've said something ridiculous and when
dastardly.
Each other have said something. So Big Two, you know, one of his famous ones was, you know, that he got a B on something. And it was disastrous, you know, you got a B and everyone's like, that's great, you know, B. Well, a B for me is like a D for everybody else. I think he feels differently now, but that at that time, cheeky little monkey.
Intense.
Oh, small two, I have to tell you a story.
Yes.
Small two was coming to me like waving his little hand and he says to me, Mom, it really hurts. And I'm like, what hurts? And
what?
He says, my hand ankle. Oh, your wrist, buddy. Yeah, my wrist. It really hurts. I'm going to call it a hand ankle from now on. I just... It's cute. You got to write this stuff down. See, I didn't write it down, but now I've recorded it, so that's good.
Oh, my belly hurts. My hand ankle.
So, parenthood.
Yes.
From a psychologist perspective.
Oh, yes.
I know. But are there key points within it that you go, that's useful for someone to know.
Yes. Don't take nude photos with your significant other when you're a teenager.
I think that's a good lesson for all of us, really.
That's a good life lesson. I said that, this is like nothing has changed except the technology.
Yeah. Yeah. See, at the very least, you know, they were contained to her mother picked them up from the processing place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not all over the internet.
All over the internet.
Yeah. I know.
I don't know. I just kind of think like parenting, it's a crapshoot. You do the best you can.
Yeah.
You take what your parents gave you and you.
You put a little pixie dust in it.
Try and do the best you can with that.
Yeah.
That's
what I think that's the celebration of the film.
Yeah.
That it's like we're doing the best we can with what we've got, yeah. You know, and it's not a highlight reel. Like, you know, our Facebook feeds or Insta feeds are a highlight reel of life, right?
Yeah.
It's not a highlight reel. It's just life.
Yeah.
You know, there is the... if you're going to leave this house, don't ever think of coming back and then chasing her down the street. Julie, I'm always here for you. Because, you know, they're your kids no matter how old they are.
Yeah.
I love that bit in, you know, the other bit about the number four son and how he might be in big trouble with some gambling heavies and, he's like, it doesn't end, you know.
It's depressing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Very, very sad human, that one, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, that parenting thing, it doesn't end. Like, you don't get to a finish line. It's a different problem.
And also, Nicole, parenting doesn't end because they all have babies at the end.
They do.
And I sat there and I went, now I know why it's Nicole's favourite film.
Because there's lots of babies. Yeah. I'm very big on encouraging the babiness, but only if you're...
Baby explosion. Let's just add to the chaos.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, that's kind of what we did. And it just makes it more fun and chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
It just means a lot more washing.
Oh, what's that really insightful thing that the grandma says about the roller coaster?
Oh,
yeah.
Lots of people, like, you know, go on the merry-go-round, but that just goes around and around.
Yeah.
That's it. No fun. I like the roller coaster.
Yeah.
And we say that to each other, Paul and I, that's our thing, you know, like, love being on the roller coaster with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a hell of a ride. And it goes up and it goes down and it twists and it turns you upside down and makes you want to vom.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, where else would you want to be? It'd be boring otherwise. Throw a dog into that mix and it's all very fun. You don't have pets, do you?
We have a cat.
Do you really?
Yeah.
How did I not know this?
You're forgiven for not knowing because we got her like a year ago.
Oh, okay.
But it's interesting because she's like 170.
Wow.
She's really old.
How did you acquire a cat?
She's literally 20 years in human years.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
We acquired her because a mate that Ben works with has a friend who had a cat.
Likely story.
Yeah, basically, like, and she was their family cat, like, when they were little, and now was, like, growing up around adults who were wanting to kind of, like, move overseas and travel and go and do things. And we're like, when is Lucy, our little cat, when is Lucy going to kind of, like, knock off? Because she's, like, still around. And so her owner moved overseas. And then it was like, does anyone want an old cat? And we were kind of like, oh, that whole, you know, can I keep a pot pan alive?
Yeah.
No, we can't. And I was just kind of like... I don't think we can add a pet into this mix. Like, I get the whole, if you've got a dog or a cat before having kids, like, keep them. But I don't know why anyone in their right mind adds a pet, because especially training a dog, I look at that from the outside just being kind of like, I'm sorry. Like, I could have another baby before I could get a dog and have to, like, toilet train the dog. So at least feel like I have the equipment available for the baby.
Mm.
Oh, my God, so much stress. So it's actually, yeah, we've had her for a while. She's really healthy. She's doing really well.
I need to see a photo of her. You're going to have to send it to me.
She's the cutest thing ever.
Oh, I mean, I like looking at cats. I don't want to have one.
Yes, I just think people say that when they've never had cats.
That's true. I have never had cats.
Because cats aren't friendly to strangers.
No.
And they're not really friendly to their owners, but that suits me just fine. Because Leos are just big cats, Nicole.
That's true. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
I have like a, I am the top feline here in my house. I don't need others.
Hear me roar.
Pretty much.
But I'm like a cat. I'm way more a cat than a dog. Like, you know how they sort of say, like, cats are for introverts and dogs are for extroverts?
Yes.
Because I look at cats and I'm kind of like, you have it made. Leave me alone. I'm going to sleep in the sun. And then I may get up, stretch.
Yeah.
Beg for food. Sit on your lap and snuggle. Stretch. And go back to sleep in the sun.
Yeah.
That's just like my ideal life.
Wow.
And I'll see you when I want to, but I don't need you.
Yeah. Fair enough. No, I am clearly a dog person.
You're like a little terrier.
Yes.
In a good way.
You said it with love. Right. Parenthood. Go check it out and see what you think and let us know on Facebook what you think about it as well. Like I said, one of my absolute faves. So I'm glad you and Ben got through it without, you know, hating it. Because, you know, yeah, it's one of my favorites. I would hate if you hated it.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us again. This season 2 thing is just rolling on.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah.
Where can they find us, Rach?
We like to put shit on Facebook, and that is...
quality content. Thank you very much.
Pop the kettle on. It's always tea time. We have a website, www.popthekettleon.com.au.
We would love
to hear your comments and reviews. Send us some suggestions.
Yes, please
What's
do.
What's been inspiring your parenting?
Yes. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us the pop culture reference that you kind of hope to achieve.
Or not.
Yes. That's just as important, isn't it? What to avoid.
We have some very exciting things up our sleeve for season 2.
Yeah.
But we're always open to more suggestions.
And we love you to come along for the ride.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy the roller coaster.
For listening.
And in the meantime, everybody, we'll see you next time. But in the meantime,
hug your babies.
And be kind to each other.
Catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Pop the Kettle On with Nicole Lessio and Dr. Rachel Bushing.